Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another edition of Interviews with the Masters. I got a good friend of mine on the line today. This is no other than Michael Lee of Southern Backwards Adventures. Actually, you guys are got to change the name of the show now. What are we calling now? Because I got to restart this over. I just remembered you changed the name of the show.
No, it's fine, man. We're still going to be known as both. Actually, Southern Backwoods Adventures is airing right now on the Pursuit Channel Sunday nights at 8:30. So we'll wrap that show up at the end of the second quarter. Starting third quarter, we're going to be known as the Backwoods of Life. So
the Backwoods Life. All right. So
yeah, man. We're
excited about the mic like on the Backwoods Life, man.
That's right.
Well, tell us a little bit about what you guys are doing. And
we're in our fifth year of television production. We've been around a little while. We've gone through all the hiccups here in the industry as far as outdoor television goes in the last few years, and trying to weather the storm as best as possible. But we've been videoing for 6 years, and the show was in its fifth season. We just kind of, three of us got together one day, and Kevin, my co-host, has a background and degree in video production, and we just decided, let's get this thing a shot. We started locally here in South Georgia, North Florida, and Southern Alabama area airing, and next thing we know, we're up in the national ranks for to do this.
Oh, well, yeah, you guys definitely have a great show. I enjoy watching it. It's entertaining and informational. You guys got some good characters on there, too. So how did you get started in hunting?
Man, I've been hunting as long as I can walk. My dad's had me in the woods ever since I was little, fishing as well. He swears I caught my first bass at 4 years old, but I can't remember that far back. But, came on first year at age 11, you know, kind of the typical, a lot of us that are in the industry, you know, your dad and granddad and aunt, uncles and such, kind of get you out in the woods and doing different things, and that's kind of how I got started.
When did you first decide or realize that hunting was going to be, you know, what you're going to do for your life or for your living?
Well, I went to college here in South Georgia, Valdosta State University, and spent hours and hours a day behind a computer. That's what I got my degree in, was computer information systems, and kind of figured that, you know, that was a good way to make a living, but yeah, I just felt a little bit too confined and loved outdoors and started getting on a couple pro staffs here and there when I graduated college and kind of got on my own feet and kind of just went from there, man, just making contacts and just making strides in the right direction and just kind of fell in my lap all of a sudden with meeting Kevin and Trey that I did a show with.
That's great. It's kind of nice to go from a cubicle to the woods.
That's right.
Big transition. How long did it take you to get to where you are now?
Oh, man. I've always had a little bit to do with the outdoors since I was probably around 20 years old. So I'm 31, pushing 32 now. I've been writing articles for years for just different publications and online websites and stuff. And it's just kind of one of those things that it kind of eased into, and you know, over the past 10 years or so, I've done pretty well.
Good. You know, a lot of our questions and the questions I'm going to be asking from you come from our Ask the Pros sections on the Hunting Channel online. So we're going to try to address a couple things and get these folks the information they've been wanting. So
sure.
I'm going to go right into it here. What can I do as a novice hunter to eliminate errors while in the stand? Give me three or four rules to live by.
Wow, three or four rules. If I'm going to, you know, we're concentrating on I say deer hunting because that's what most of my time in the woods is spent doing. Number one, first and foremost, is scent control. That's a big thing nowadays. There's all kind of products out there. The safest way to avoid getting busted that way is just play the wind. If the stand's not right for the wind, you know, deer are going to come in from downwind, just don't go. Try a different spot, you know, whatever. That's first and foremost, because if you can see them, that's a lot easier to get a shot at them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Another rule is don't be afraid to try new things. There's a lot of great different calls on the market nowadays, and some of them people may think are kind of gimmicky or whatever, but hey, give it a shot. See if it works for you. You never know. Deer in different parts of this country act different ways. So That's a good tool to never be afraid to try new things, that's for sure. Always adapt.
Yeah, adaptability is definitely a key point.
That's right, that's right. And I guess probably another main thing would be to always practice your shooting. I mean, people think, you know, just because that gun was on last year or my sights on my bow were on last year that they're going to be on a lot of times. I know, especially here in the South, there's a lot of guys that they don't pick up their bow and start practicing until 3 or 4 days before the season. And that's great and grand, but you still may get lucky and make some good shots. But if you know your equipment 100%, you're dead accurate with it, you have a lot more confidence while you're sitting in the woods.
I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, even the fact that the sights are off or the, you know, the scope is off, you're off, you know, if you're not, if you're not tuned, you know, you can't expect a tuned bow to work. So
exactly
I couldn't agree with you more. I got a question here from one of our members. Can you describe to me in great detail what your ideal setup is? Basically, from terrain, temperature, weather, moon phase. When you see that sweet, you know you're going to see bucks because you got all the things playing for you. What are those things that you're looking for?
Well, I guess that's a big question.
Yeah, it is.
there's a lot of variables that we all know that go into, you know, that encounter with a big mature deer or whatever. Everything's got to go your right way. But, you know, in a perfect world, if I could pick any setup, the most consistent for me has been more so not necessarily sitting on a food source or on a bedding area, but the travel routes between the two. That's always worked real well because, you know, you're more likely to get a shot at that animal, you know, with good shooting light prior to going out feeding late in the day or coming back in from early in the morning. Kind of a travel route, little funnel or something like that's a good, as far as, the stand would go, man, I hunt out of all different kind of things. I'm partial to climbers and lock-ons just for versatility, being able to, you know, move in areas. At the same time, you know, anything as far as the stand goes will work. As long as you've done your preparation and you know, and kind of got in the area and scouted out what can be a good setup. As far as temperature goes, a lot of people will probably argue with me, but if it would just stay 40 degrees all fall, all during deer season, I'd be perfectly content with it. I don't, you know, really cold makes deer move some, and in some places it doesn't. And of course, we don't want it to be hot at all, but I think that 40-degree mark is, to me, seems like it's just perfect. You know, it's comfortable to hunt in. The animals move. Usually you have, you know, pretty good sit after that. As far as weather.
I think if it's really cold, you tend to move around a lot more, so that kind of minimizes stuff. So I'm sorry to cut you off. Go ahead. What you were saying about weather.
As far as weather goes, I don't know. It's kind of, I've killed plenty of good deer in the rain, and I've played plenty in the sun, and, you know, it's just one of those things. But as far as a perfect scenario, I would rather have a front come through, give us a little bit of rain to kind of settle the woods down, kind of make it where you can move around without getting hurt too much. And usually that second day after the cold front is usually one of the prime times. The first day, you know, you have a tendency for the wind to blow pretty hard and stuff like that. But that second day, it kind of calms down. It's clear, kind of cool. That's when I've had a lot of good luck, you know, those kind of conditions right there.
Well, that's definitely some good advice. Well, what key signs, we'll switch gears here a little bit. What key signs do you look for when you're finding a spot to hunt?
Well, like I said, it's another one of those things that you can go textbook on, or you can kind of go off the wall a little bit. A lot of people, you know, you find rubs and scrapes and stuff like that, and that's a very good indication that, you know, deer are in the area and they're using the area pretty heavily. And I've killed deer on, you know, hunting scrape lines and stuff like that before too. But the key to me as far as what to look for is target where the does are. Where are the does feeding at? Where are they traveling through? Where are they bedding? Because most of the time, that's going to be your home run right there. If you can find where the majority of the does are traveling, feeding, or bedding, and kind of stay around those areas, the big boys are going to come through there. They're going to be looking. It's just a fact.
Now, would you say that through all the seasons or just kind of during the rut?
I would say maybe not. Well, sometimes during early season, especially down here in the South, the bachelor groups are real tight early in the season. So, and I've seen bucks use different routes totally than the does will. But once you start first seeing those scrapes laying down and stuff like that, I would hunt the does the rest of the year from the first time you start seeing a little scraping activity through the end of the season, because even late season, you know, those bucks are still going to be out looking for does. I mean, that's just, they're going to keep doing that until their antlers fall off, and that's just what they do.
Well, not any different than most guys.
That's right.
We're always chasing tail.
That's right.
All right. Well, so what do you look for in a tree specifically? You know, when you're going to hang a stand, you know, other than being straight and whatever, what are you looking for the out of the tree and the actual immediate area around it? A lot of people don't really know what's a good tree to hang a stand in, you know. Just because
right,
it's not a good
exactly.
trail doesn't necessarily mean it's good. And, you know, I think people want to hear what's a good stand for this.
I think a lot of guys make a mistake and they get too close to an area. Say if you found this really hot trail that's going to a field or from a bedding area, whatever, they'll get where, man, I'm right here on top of this trail because that's the best tree to get in their opinion. You know, that's not necessarily true. If I'm going to bow hunt, I like to get about, you know, 30 yards from the trail, 20, 30 yards. If I had a perfect tree to pick, not necessarily a particular type of tree, but I would pick a tree that's obviously straight, easy to climb, but you have a lot of cover. They have a lot of limbs. Oak trees work really well. They're really hard, and you got to be careful sometimes, especially like in a climb or whatever. But if you're going to hang a lock-on set, I really like oak trees because usually their limbs go out a good little ways. You know, cut you some shooting lanes. You usually have a lot of cover. Cover's the key. I mean, if you're up in the tree and you gotta move and that deer's, you know, right there 30, 40 yards away, you gotta have some help. If you're just sitting on a bare trunk tree with your ladder stand leaning up against it or climber up there 15 feet, I mean, you gotta be careful. Yeah, exactly. So, it's just different, you know.
Now, what would you say, like, height-wise, do you have to go up a certain height every time, or you know, it's just dependent on the tree?
Well, of course it depends on the tree, because if you can't get 15 feet high, then you can't get 20. But at the same time, as far as bow hunting goes, I don't like to get too high, because your angle shot on the deer, say if a deer does come in at 10 yards and you're 30 feet up a tree, you know, your margin of error is very slim at that. So, my ideal height is probably around 20 feet is what I mostly hunt at, especially bow hunting. That way, if the terrain's pretty level, you get a good double lung pass-through shot in most cases. You know.
Okay. Let's see. We're going to switch gears to ground blinds now. I guess what do you look for in a perfect ground blind setup? This is another one of the questions that we got across.
To be honest about it, for turkey hunting with a bow, I think a pop-up blind is perfect. But for hunting deer, I really don't use a pop-up blind hardly at all. I'd rather build my own blind out of limbs and sticks and you know, vegetation that's around the area, and you really match the area a lot better. And at the same time, it's not some big, bulky, new thing that's in there. Because a lot of guys don't have, you know, a week or two to put a blind up to let the deer get used to it being in the area or whatever. I've had some cases where we pop one up and deer walk out and they freak out. And I've had, you know, the other end of that where they walk out and they don't pay attention to it. But I just think if you can keep things as natural as possible, that's what I prefer. I think, because I've killed a lot of deer off the ground, and just being hid well with natural cover has always worked well for me.
Okay. Let's see. If you weren't using a commercial blind, which you kind of already answered this question. So you basically, you're just building like a, you know, a blind out of cedars or deadfall or.
Yeah. I mean, especially if you're in it. Yeah. Down here in the South, we have a lot of pine trees, and those, you know, if they green year round, it's just like, you know, in the Midwest and such, you have a lot of cedars, and further out west, you've got all kind of different, you know, trees that stay green year round, and that's usually your best bet for a good anytime ground blind.
I guess our last question here, what is your favorite way to hunt? But I think you kind of answered this, but I might be wrong. You might have another tactic that you like. What's your favorite way to hunt deer?
As far as weapon-wise or what?
All of it.
Particular?
Weapon, you know, still hunting, stand hunting, spot stalk.
Man, it's all pretty fun.
Yeah.
especially when it works out, it's all fun. But I guess if I had to pick, you know, if you said...
Well, I guess
okay,
to be most successful.
Yeah, if you had to pick one way, and I mean, of course, it all varies with where you're at in the terrain, but for the majority of the whitetail hunters, you know, I prefer having a lock on and a good covered tree over a pretty good used trail, maybe in a little hardwood ridge or something, and I love to bow hunt. I won't say, you know, I love bow hunting more than rifle hunting because they all have their own ups and downs.
Right.
You know, I do like to see that those fleshing to disappear in the side of that buck, stick up in the ground on the other side.
It's definitely something about bow hunting that's got its appeal.
That's right. You got that up close and personal, people.
Yep. All right. Well, I'm going to kind of get into some other questions about you guys out here, and we wanted to find out, you know, where can our listeners find out more about you? Where can they watch you?
We have our website is backwoodslife.com. We also still have southernbackwoods.com, which is our website before the name change. All those go to the same place now, so check us out there. We have all our airtime, have a lot about ourselves, our staff, where we hunt, you know, whose products we use. We also have our 2008 and 2009, all of the episodes online through our website. So if you missed us, don't know about us, you can sit right there and watch shows until you're bored out of your mind.
Right.
But, I think we have a pretty good show, pretty entertaining. We can definitely always improve. And I think the new show, The Backwoods Life, starting in, I guess it's going to be June the 29th. It'll be the first air date on the Pursuit Channel. That'll be Monday evenings at 5:30 p.m. on the Pursuit Channel, and then Tuesday nights at 10 p.m. on Pursuit Channel. And until then, you can watch us on Pursuit Channel on Sunday nights at 8:30 with Southern Backwoods Adventures, all of our 2008 episodes.
Great. As we wrap things up, what information or what kind of what should our members be doing, you know, for the next 90 days or the 30 days before hunting season starts to kind of prepare themselves or, you know, to get ready for hunting season?
One thing I like to do, I mean, I always like to familiarize myself with where I'm going to be hunting. I think a lot of mistakes that people make is this time of the year, you know, when, you know, obviously deer season is not in, turkey season is, but you don't have a lot going on, and they don't make those trips to the woods to walk around, to look around, and they don't kind of fill out the area, because right now is a prime time before everything gets really green to go in and see those heavily used travel routes that deer used in the past fall. More than likely, they're going to use the same travel routes, you know, coming up this fall, especially the food sources that are there year in, year out.
Right.
That's always good. And like I was hitting on, a lot of people wait till a couple weeks before the season, and then they just start flooding in the woods. Well, what you're doing is you're fastly educating your deer because they've been not a lot of activity maybe for the last, you know, 3, 4, 5 months, and all of a sudden, man, there's 10 people on this hunting lease going all over the place now. So
right.
that's a mistake, especially in the South down here, man. A lot of guys make that mistake and get the four-wheelers out and golf carts and whatever, just start riding all over the place looking around.
I think that's everywhere in the country.
Yeah.
Definitely everywhere in the country. We see that all the time. Well, I want to say thank you for the good information, and be sure everybody check out Mike's show. You can catch him on the huntingchannelonline.com as well. I appreciate your time, and I'm glad you took the time out to hang out with us a little bit here and give us some great information, and I'm sure we'll see you soon.
Yeah, man, I appreciate it, John. I think the Huntington Online, you guys are doing a great job. You got some great shows on there and providing a great resource for everybody out there that loves to hunt.
Oh, thank you. We appreciate that. All right, well, we'll talk to you soon. Have a good one.
All right, man. Thanks.
Bye.